At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Buzz Aldrin was the first person to pee on the moon, which demonstrates the many functions that a spacesuit must fulfill. NASA now wants to design a new one. Stephanie Sipila is Manager of Extravehicular Activity Integration at NASA and joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Stephanie.
Good morning from Houston. How are you today?
Not too bad. Is it true to say that the design of the spacesuit hasn't changed that much since the 1980s?
Oh, no, not at all. The spacesuit, very much like an automobile, has had many evolutions over the years. The spacesuit that we're using on the International Space Station, in fact, looks to the outward appearance that it is the same spacesuit that we started flying the shuttle program with in the early 80s. But under the hood, we've had many upgrades and improvements as we've learned about the suit and as the needs for the suit have changed.
Right. Okay. And what kind of needs have changed?
Well, for example, when we started flying the space shuttle, we flew a unique spacesuit for each astronaut who was going on a spacewalk. And we assumed that the spacesuit would be used once. So one spacewalk for that spacesuit, and then it would return to the ground and be completely disassembled and processed before it was flown again. But fast forward to the assembly of the space station and the fact that we've had continued human presence on the space station since 1998, and the spacesuit demands have increased greatly. Today, a spacesuit goes to the space station with an expected lifespan of 6 years and 25 EVAs.
I was wondering, Stephanie, how do you put on a spacesuit?
One piece at a time. In fact, the astronauts put on the hard upper torso, which is basically the shirt first, and then with help, they don their pants, so their lower torso assembly, and then there's a good bit of fit checks and making sure that they're in the suit just the way they like, and then with help, the helmet goes on and the gloves go on. Of course, at that point, they need to be connected to an oxygen source and a power source. And they stay in that configuration in the airlock until we're ready to open the hatch.
Right, okay.
And in case you didn't know the excitement of today's timing, there is actually a spacewalk underway on the space station as we speak.
And within that, you know, the modern spacesuit, there is obviously an opportunity to have a Buzz Aldrin if you need to. And can you, if you become thirsty or anything like that or need to wipe your nose, what do you do?
Well, your hands and your head are in the same spacesuit, so you are not going to touch your nose with your hands at all. Mm. Yes, we do provide accommodations for bodily functions, as you had in your Buzz Aldrin clip from the moon. And if you have an itchy nose, there is a Valsalva device inside the helmet to help the astronauts with their ears clearing as the pressure changes. And if you can be a little bit creative with your neck movements, you can probably have a little bit of a nose scratch too.
Right. Okay. So this new generation of spacesuits you're hoping to design, what you're looking for, how is what you're looking for different? Because as I understand it, some of it will be for moon landings.
That's exactly right. You have to think about designing a spacesuit for the needs of the destination. When we do spacewalks on the space shuttle and on the space station, we're in microgravity. So essentially, the astronauts are weightless. And when they walk, they're doing hand-over-hand motion. And that means that their legs are not very much involved in the spacewalking at all. There are times when you see an astronaut standing in a foot restraint plate to help them have two hands free to do the task at hand. But they're not walking the way we do here on Earth. And all of that changes when you go to the moon, because on the moon there's gravity, but there's a whole lot more about the moon that's different than just the gravity. There's dust, and there's falling, and there's exploration that takes you away from your home vehicle, whether you're doing a spacewalk from a lander or a habitat or a rover. You are walking away from your safety net. Whereas at the space station, you're always touching it. You're always within a safe distance from your airlock to retreat back to safety if you have an emergency. So these spacesuits we will need for walking on the moon have a different set of requirements that they have to comply with in order to provide a spacesuit for the astronauts that will be safe.
Yeah.
They have to walk. They have boots. They have to have hip mobility. They have to be able to kneel down. I'm sure you've seen some of the really fun clips of Apollo astronauts walking on the moon, and they don't look very much like they're walking. They have a bit of a bunny to them.
Yeah.
And that's because the spacesuit didn't have a lot of joints in it to allow them to walk and to ambulate the same way we do here on the Earth with gravity. And that's something that we're paying really close attention to as we think about going back to the moon in the Artemis program, because we're not going for a 5-day excursion. We're going to the moon to stay. We're going to the moon to learn and to do science and to be there for a long duration. And so that's another new requirement that the new spacesuits will have to meet that the Apollo spacesuits didn't have to meet. They have to be on orbit for quite some time, and they have to accommodate astronauts of different sizes.
And have advancements been made in the potential materials it could be made for to make them, if you like, less bulky?
Yes, there are a lot of material advances, not just in the fabrics, but also in the electronics and in the materials used for the helmet and the radios. I mean, everything. Think about how technology has changed here on Earth in the last 55 years. All of those components and elements of a design feed into a spacesuit. So yeah, there's a lot of that. The bulkiness is something that will never go away entirely. You'll never put on a pair of skinny jeans that is really a spacesuit, right? Because you need to protect the human, and you're protecting the human from the vacuum of space. You're protecting them from hot spots when they're in the sun and they don't have an atmosphere above them on a cloudy day to protect them. You're protecting them from cold. Some of the craters that we will be exploring on the moon have never, in billions of years since the moon's creation, have never seen sunlight. The bottom of those craters, these permanently shadowed regions, will be very cold. And so the spacesuit has to protect the astronaut in all of those regimes in one excursion. You might go from a sunny, dusty spot to a very dark, cold area on the moon, and the spacesuit has to accommodate all that. So the bulkiness comes from building that protection around the human. And it's a balance between giving you enough protection and providing enough mobility. We're certainly not going to send our astronauts to the moon in metal knights of suits of armor, right? That would be ultimately protective because they won't have any mobility and they won't have the ability to do the science that drives our exploration.
Yeah. And would they be putting them on in the way that you already described to us?
One of the design changes that has been explored for about the last 10 years in our research and development program is changing the way that the astronauts put the suits on. Today, I described that the astronauts put our space station suits on like a pair of, like a shirt and pants. In the new suit design option, we're considering a rear entry suit. And what this means is that the pants and the shirt, if you will, of the suit are already connected. You open up a hatch or a door on the back of the suit, and then the astronauts sort of slide in feet first and then their arms, and then they kind of, you know, like they're doing the breaststroke, pull their shoulders and their head into the suit.
Okay.
And then the hatch would close behind them, and they'll wear a backpack,
yeah,
similar to what we wear that provides all of the life support.
And that would, I assume, it would be much quicker to put on your spacesuit in that circumstance.
It has pros and cons. And our goal, and in fact a requirement that we're imposing for the new spacesuit, is that a crew member who is going to do a spacewalk needs to be able to put the spacesuit on by themselves. with no help from an additional crew member required.
Stephanie, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Stephanie Sipala there, the EVA Integration Manager at NASA.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.